Hello everyone, I'm Harry Bucknell. Thank you for downloading this podcast from ABF, the Soldiers' Charity. This programme is dedicated to Army wives, past, present and future, for they are the unsung heroes who put the song into service life.
He tells me I've got to be strong for the children, and he's right, but who's going to be strong for me? We don't just marry a man we love, we marry a way of life. Our lives are dominated by his career in a way that rarely happens outside the military. We move home on average every 2 years, as he is posted from camp to camp. Our children are uprooted, our own careers and ambitions go on hold. We live in houses we did not choose. We make friends who move on as soon as we've become close. It's not an easy life, and that's without the biggest challenge of all. Our men leave home to go to the world's most dangerous places, leaving us behind to nurse our loneliness and learn to be both mother and father to our children.
The bodies of two more soldiers made the sad flight home to Britain today and the sad procession.
It was a shock to the system. That's the best way I can put it. And really that shock, I think, is what is the sort of genesis of the choirs, really.
Nikki Clark, MBE, founder of the Military Wives Choirs, a great British story of triumph in the face of adversity. When, in 2010, her husband, then a company commander with the 1st Battalion Scots Guards, deployed to Afghanistan, describing her first experience of life as an army wife.
I don't come from an army background. I knew nothing about it. We'd lived in our own house. I'd never lived in a quarter. So when he said, oh, we're going back to the regiment and, you know, you'll love it. It's a big family and, you know, everybody looks after each other. I willingly went and gave up my job and my home and my family. And, you know, it felt like quite a long way north. And for him, it absolutely was going back to his regimental family. But I found that for many of the wives, we're all in this extremely intense and frightening scenario. And what I was so struck by were these barriers to us connecting. So, you know, were you an officer's wife? Were you not? Did you work? Did you not? Did you have a dog? Did you? And because of the transient nature of our lives, you don't really have a lot of time to hang around and slowly get to know people. You just have to get on with it there and then. And so what I kept thinking was, when I went to the coffee mornings put on by the welfare team, and, you know, they absolutely did their best, but they're soldiers, you know, and I looked at all these amazing women sitting around drinking not very nice coffee, frankly, and thinking, wow, is this support? Because as you say, it was at a point when we absolutely knew they weren't all coming home, and so we were all frightened, we were all scared, and I had such a strong feeling that we all had to look after each other, those who were left behind.
Indeed, feeling so strong, it gave birth to an organisation that is almost a movement, which has grown to over 70 choirs worldwide, with over 2,000 members. Not just throughout Great Britain, but as far afield as Belgium, Gibraltar, Naples, the Falkland Islands, and Riyadh in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
What was the eureka moment when you decided to smash the barriers down and create the Military Wives Choir?
Actually, I can still remember it. It was about 3 o'clock on a very dark grey afternoon, sort of probably maybe October, November time. Nights were drawing in. It was dark. There was, you know, I knew Hugo wouldn't be home for ages. That was the other thing. Although he was going off on operations, I didn't know I wouldn't see him for the 6 months before when he was doing all his pre-deployment training. So there I was, sat on my own, and I just literally sat there and thought, what about a choir? I had run a choir down in Pewsey, where we were living before, and it was a joy. It was an absolute joy. It brought all parts of the community together, people who didn't know each other, people from different backgrounds. And I thought, maybe that could bring us all together. And knowing physically the health benefits and the joy that being part of a choir brings. And it was literally a sort of eureka moment. Anyway, when Hugo got home later that evening, I said to him, I've had this idea. And he said, oh yes, you know, really not really. I said, a choir, what about a choir for the all of us left behind? And he said, oh yeah, yeah, lovely, good, you crack on. And didn't think that much of it. So, and that's when I sort of spoke to my friend Caroline Jopp. We talked about it a bit more.
And Caroline was, of course, the wife of the commanding officer at the time, Lincoln Jopp. And what was her reaction when you said, I've got this wonderful idea, what do you think?
She said she loved it. She said, what a lovely, lovely idea. And she had been going to the local church in Richmond and had got to know it sounds so old-fashioned, choir mistress, the lady who ran the choir in the local church. And she said, oh, well, Carol might be great to help us. She, you know, might be interested. And so we said, let's sort of have a meeting, get some people together, get some ideas. And it's interesting because I also was conscious that there's this sense sometimes that, to be frank, you know, great, a new officer's wife comes in and has all the bright ideas and thinks they know everything, and you know, and everyone's sort of a bit tired of, oh, another great idea, and you know, people are a bit sort of fed up with it really. But it felt new and different, and yeah, Caroline couldn't have been more supportive.
What was the first song that you sang, can you remember?
There wasn't one. That we did lots of sort of warm-ups and that sort of thing. We did, because there were quite a lot of Scots Guards there, we did things like the Skyboat song and some Flower of Scotland, I can remember. And the one that I really, well, I know there were a couple, but Alleluia was another one that was beautiful to sing together and still moves me now.
Recording of Watersham Military Wives Choir performing Hallelujah, written by Leonard Cohen.
During that tour, the absolute joy was us singing together, supporting one another, that sense of women being able to walk into the room and just, you didn't have to say whether you were having a bad day or not. People would just give you a hug. You could tell by the look in people's eyes. So happy, so uplifted, physically feeling better, mentally more able to cope.
What effect did the choirs have actually at the front line, as it were?
There was a lovely story of my husband being in the NAFI in somewhere in a base somewhere, and he was BFBS was on the radio, and he heard me come on the radio and then the choir singing, and he said it literally brought a tear to his eye. There he was in the most awful scenario, and there he could hear us singing and the joy that that brought. But actually, generally, what's so important is, as I'm sure you would know, if you're deployed on operations, you want to feel and believe that your family are well and safe and looked after and supported, because you can then get on and do the job that you need to do. And that's so important, because how hard it must be for someone deployed to hear their loved ones struggling. You know, we all put on a brave face, but actually, if you can really talk about the joy that you're getting from something that you're doing at home, what a brilliant thing for the men and the women who are deployed.
It was not long before Nicky Clark's idea began to gather momentum, putting a spring in the step of service families up and down the country. The Military Wives Choirs, at a time of low ebb and heavy fighting in Afghanistan, had struck more than a chord. In Chivenor, Sharon Bristow, whose husband was part of the Commando Brigade in Helmand, set up a choir, and soon another was formed in Plymouth. T. Copeland, chair of the Military Wags Choir in Catterick, picks up the story.
At the time, some of the choir members wrote to Gareth Malone and said, would he like to help them? But he said he was too busy. But the following year, of course, he went down and filmed with Chivener. And then it sort of went crazy from there.
Wherever you are, Christmas number one in 2011, written by Paul Miller and performed by the Military Wives Choir, sung by ladies from Chivener and Plymouth under the direction of Gareth Malone.
Do you know, I remember when we set up the choir in Catterick and somebody said, this is so amazing, this is so brilliant, you guys are going to be Christmas number one day. And I remember laughing about it. No, nobody could really believe that. Without sounding trite, what was so important, it wasn't about that side, you know, it wasn't about the glitz and the glamour, supposedly. It was about this joy of bringing women together to sing together, to support one another. But what the ladies at Chivener and Plymouth gave all of us is that platform, that, as Gareth would say, the oxygen of publicity, the opportunity people had heard about us, you know, that sense of so many of the families behind the wire felt somewhat forgotten, somewhat in the shadows, in the background. And actually, as you say, that, you know, for people deployed, they need that strong family support behind them. So actually, if this highlighted that, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. We were incredibly proud of all they were doing, and the support from the public was overwhelming.
As part of my introduction to Matters Choral, Nikki Clark's co-founders, Sharon Bristow and Caroline Jopp, kindly arranged for me to join the Military Wags Choir, which stands for Wives, Affiliates, Girlfriends and Servicewomen, where it all began in Catterick Garrison, for a get-together on Zoom, a chance to learn a bit about what makes a choir tick, and, in the odd case, their dogs too. Musical director Carol Geddy.
They're a fantastic group of ladies to work with, and it's been inspirational, motivational, and can't wait for it to start again.
I'm Vicky, and I've been in the choir for about 5 years, I think, roughly. I'm actually part of the A in WAGS, so I'm an affiliate, so I've been teaching on the garrison for about 15 years, working closely with army families. The school that I work in is over 95% army families. So it's just really nice to get closer to the people who I support through school, getting to know them through the choir as well.
Last but not least, Anne.
I'm actually one of the service women. I'm a veterinary officer. I joined the choir, having sung in other choirs, military wives, foundation choirs around Germany and in the UK, but then knew of the choir in Catterick when I came up there. So I've been a choir member for 2 years, but actually my posting's just ended. I'm actually now serving down in London. I'm actually doing a full-time master's degree.
Military Wags Choir Chair, Fee Copeland.
Anne is part of the alto groups, which are entirely naughty the whole time through rehearsal. And all we get told off, you agree, Anne? And I think that we just miss that sense of fun.
as a miscreant, and I really, as an army officer, you should be better behaved. Didn't they teach you anything at that Sandhurst? Can you tell us a bit about the problems you're causing the musical director?
Well, it's really important for me to join the ladies as just being one of the team. And actually, I spend all my working day organising, making decisions and providing leadership for the people. It's really nice to come and be part of a team where I don't have to enact that role. I can be myself and I can be one of the girls. I can chat and maybe mess around a little bit and bring a bit of colour and life. And it's good to keep the musical director on her toes. You know, she's not all too easy. And I like to remind her of that naughty child in her classroom who, made a smile. It's all part of the well-being and morale for the team. I like to bring that. But it's, for me, it's great moving around from garrison to garrison and hosting, knowing I can walk into a choir where I'll find like-minded women who want to have fun singing, making music together, but also sharing fellowship and camaraderie and just letting off a bit of steam. It's fantastic.
Well, I'm a
Hi, Carol.
Hi. I joined last year. I moved up from Cosford, and I was in the choir previous before my husband was posted. The ladies are amazing. They're always there for support, for a shoulder to cry on, or if you want to have a giggle. And that's what we mostly do. We have a giggle.
I mean, Vicky, in amongst all this, there is some singing that goes on, is there?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. We do work really, really hard, but we try to make sure that we have plenty of fun at the same time. So we try and organise social events outside of choir when we're allowed to go somewhere. And we have open nights where we welcome new members, and we want them to feel like it's a place that they want to keep coming back to.
Kath, you've been a veteran of the choir. Has that changed the sort of the feature of service life in the sense of family's life? Because now it has a sort of another way of meeting people.
I think, particularly if they've moved to us from somewhere that they've been to a choir, they know that being able to come to another choir is an instant welcome to wherever they've moved to. It doesn't have to be Catterick, it can be anywhere. There will always be somebody that will welcome you. And we've seen so many people become very good friends. And then, of course, it's then sad to see them go. You know, for the likes of me that is here all the time, I don't know how many people I've seen go and come back. I mean, Carol, bless you, you know, she's... And other people have gone and come back, and that's the nice thing about being in there for so long, is that you see people come back.
During lockdown, have you been able to rehearse at all while it's been going on?
V. Copeland.
No, we haven't, Harry. We rehearse in the church, and of course initially the church was we weren't allowed, you know, we couldn't go in. We did have some Zoom meetings initially, certainly through the lockdown. We tried to get together most Thursday evenings, just for half an hour, just through the week, just to try and catch up. It's very hard to stay motivated. We're all living in a very, very different world. And, you know, I've always said that you can be in a garrison, Catterick Garrison is huge, and you can be in a garrison and be next door to someone and still be so isolated, and I think that's become even more prevalent through COVID.
In 2012, to preserve the identity of the rapidly expanding network, the Military Wives Choir's charity was established as an umbrella organisation. Chair, Maggie Pedder.
Can you tell me a bit about the charitable work of the Military Wives Choirs?
Well, I think the most important thing is that we say our ethos is sing, share, support. So the singing is about why we come together and the reason for why we're there, obviously. But singing also increases your sense of well-being and your sense of community. And I know if you've ever sung ever in a choir or even a congregation in a church or sing along with a group of people at a party or whatever, you know, it has a way of uniting you, and it does lift your spirits and makes you feel so much better. So we deliver that very important aspect through sing. And then sharing is about coming together, eating cake, sharing how your day's been, sharing your experiences. I mean, very often it's the informal network, isn't it, where you say if you just moved to a new area or you're having a bit of a problem with your quarter or some situation, either at work or your husband's work or partner's work, and able to say, you know, has anybody else come across this? Who's the best person for me to speak to? So it's all about, you know, sharing how we feel with one another. And I think the most important thing, the choir is a safe space. And we're often challenged as to potentially, why don't we invite people outside the military community or maybe young children, you know, 10 or 11 year olds. But for us, I think the most important thing that you have a group of like-minded women who are in the same or a similar situation that provides a safe space where you can actually, if you like, be yourself, you know, offload, share. So there's nothing that sort of inhibits you, if you like. We have such a great plethora of social media now, and we can see and have almost instant communication with everybody. You know, but even 10 years ago, there wasn't that accessibility, you know, and I think the Military Wives film really shows that, for example, you know, where there's a one of the characters is there with her young son and they're having a call, they're connected to the husband in Afghanistan, and it cuts out halfway through, and that's really frustrating. You know, I mean, when my husband did his first tour in Northern Ireland, you know, we wrote to one another, you know, and I think we had one phone call a week. So you do feel quite isolated. The frustrating thing for me was, I mean, when I was, you know, in the middle of my career, the difficulty was I always found that I'd spent 2 years working really hard, getting my credentials, and then I'd always just be on the point of being promoted or getting to the next level, and we'd have to move. I'd have to start again looking for another job. Or sometimes I was quite lucky that I got a transfer within the organisation I was working from. But it's all this starting again, you know, and having to reprove yourself and get your credentials. And yeah, it's quite a challenge, that, yes.
It is also free of rank, which is important, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes, yes. That's a really key thing. It doesn't matter, you know, what regiment, what service you belong to, because we are obviously, we have women from the Army, Navy and the Air Force and the Marines, obviously. When you come, you just come as you, that whoever you are, that individual person, regardless of, you know, whether it's your rank, if you're in the services yourself, or your husband or partner's rank, or your brother's rank, or your son's rank, if that's the person that you are coming to the choir.
But military wives are a resilient, ever resourceful bunch, and never without a smile on their face, which is a great quality. What plans do you have, Maggie, for the comeback post lockdown?
Well, I think the first thing to say is that our choirs have been absolutely amazing, and particularly under the direction of many of our musical directors. Throughout lockdown, we've had over 80% of our choirs have continued to meet virtually over Zoom, even though it's been incredibly challenging. And I think that's a marvellous testament to, as you say, the creativity and resilience. And I know we all suffer a little bit from Zoom fatigue, but it has kept people going. So in terms of what we're hoping for is to look at increasing our membership, because I do believe that there are many more women in our military communities who would benefit from, you know, the support, our Sing Share support. So we'll be working with our choirs to help them on a little bit of a publicity drive and a recruitment drive to raise awareness. And we're also trying to raise awareness within military communities and within other armed forces charities, because, you know, if you're a SAFA caseworker and you come across somebody who you feel would benefit from being in a choir, then please refer them. So I think we need to get our message out there to people who work within other organisations that work alongside the armed forces, that there is, you know, a place that you can refer or direct people to where we can give them the support they might need. So I would say if there's anybody out there listening who feels they'd like to join, but they would be worried about the cost, please just approach your choirs, because we can give support to those people who need it. I think there are still very similar challenges for the families. Some things have you know, drastically improved, which are really good, but I still think the pressures are, you know, and it's very obvious, you know, for example, when we've gone into the pandemic, you know, you had the COVID, the COVID special force, I think, wasn't it, you know, where 1,000 military personnel were suddenly deployed. And, you know, that's been really hard for many of our choir members and you know, that they've been left, you know, because I think added to the, you know, just going away. So, for example, you know, one of our trustees, her husband is deployed to Bahrain, but of course he had to socially isolate for 14 days. So he had to go into, well, it wasn't the barracks, it's whatever they are in the Navy, the ship, had to go to the ship, isolate for 14 days. And of course he's not allowed to come home for R&R. So it's a 6 month stretch, which is added, and then he'll have to isolate when he comes back at the end. So in effect, you've added, you know, a month on either end of that deployment because of COVID-19. And that's really hard for families, you know, having to do that.
You also have had to deal with widows too at the same time, haven't you? I suppose that it must be a difficult thing.
The one thing that really strikes me when I meet the army widows and deal with the army widows is that even if they go on and remarry, because some of them are widowed quite young, unfortunately, and a part of them never recovers from it. I don't know whether it's because, you know, if you are married to somebody in the military or your partner's in the military, you have that family connection. And then when that person goes, all that connection is severed. And it really is, it takes widows a long, long time to actually recover, and some of them that I deal with, I don't think will ever recover. You know, it's quite traumatic.
But it is wonderful that there are people such as yourself and the support network that the Militarised Choirs provides. It's very, very important. Let's not forget the good fun too.
I have to say that some nights when I think, oh, I need to go to rehearsal, and you think, oh, I could really just do with staying in. When you get there, and you, at the end, you come out, you feel so uplifted and energised, and you think, I'm so glad I came tonight, you know, made the effort. Sons and daughters of brave heroes past, lend us courage and strength that we lost. A thousand voices as one we sing together.
Sean Hargreaves, John Hayward and Laura Wright, performed by the Military Wives Choirs, featuring Laura Wright, and the Choral Drums of Her Majesty's Royal Marines, conducted by the Military Wives Choirs Artistic Director, Hilary Davin-Wetton. Alongside a number of the Military Wives Choirs individual musical directors, Hilary, how does it feel being the only man?
Well, I suppose the plain answer is I barely notice it because I've got used to it. But I mean, there are two or three interesting issues about that. One is that, of course, there are those, I am sure, a very few of them put their head over the parapet, but I suspect there are more, who think, you know, why haven't we got a female conductor? This is an organization celebrating femininity, you know, under pressure. I am very deeply committed to the proposition that singing is a most extraordinarily powerful therapy for people who are struggling. And I'll tell you why, and it's an interesting thing. I mean, the City of London Choir, which I'm music director of as well, is exactly the opposite spectrum from the Military Wives. Military Wives is an open access group. You don't have to have any audition, of course not. You say, I want to sing, in you go. And the City of London Choir is massively auditioned. You know, every 3 years you have to re-audition. But the thing that they have in common, which is much more interesting than the thing they have separate, is that they all have rather tough lives. But while they're in my rehearsal, they can't think about the problems they're facing at work. Because if you start thinking about that, you sing the wrong notes. You have to focus on what you're doing. And therefore, it is very powerful therapy because you have to block out completely all the pressures in your life. And I think that this is something which people who do not sing don't quite get. If you've got a conductor of any quality at all, he will require 100% focus on the exact task you have in front of you in your piece of music. And I think it's terribly good for people. And the sense of community is extraordinary. There's never a choir, in my experience, which doesn't have marvellous homemade cake. And they visibly know each other extremely well. And they manifestly are teasing and supporting and loving each other in a very powerful way. And I'm sure that's not universally true of every single relationship up and down the land, but it's a very powerful sense. And though that's true of every choir I've ever conducted, it's much truer of the Military Wives. It's much more strikingly obvious. Because for them, the social aspect and the musical aspect are inextricably linked. And the trouble is that Zoom can replace a little of the social aspect, but it's pretty useless for singing because of the delay. But the best way of bringing these ladies together was this, you know, Abide With Me, which did work. And it worked on a slightly different principle, which was I recorded, you know, conducting the piece, and I conducted a single individual professional singer so that she would follow me precisely. And then they recorded in five different studios, one at a time, all weekend, both listening and following me. And so actually the final effect, I think, is extraordinarily good. Thank you.
Light With Me, written by Henry Francis Light, melody composed by William Henry Monk, arranged by Sean Hargreaves, Julia Hudson and Hilary Davenwetton, specially commissioned by Westminster City Council to mark the centenary of the burial of the Unknown Warrior in November 2020, sung by the Military Wives Choirs, accompanied by musicians from the Royal Corps of Army Music under the direction of Hilary Davenwetton.
And the amazing success of the Military Wives film, despite the lockdown, that it has done very well, and it's a lovely film, and I commend it to your listeners. You know, whatever they do, they should watch the very end, because at the very end, it has a picture of one choir. Then you hear it singing, then two, then four, then eight, then 16, then 32, then 64. And you suddenly see what this acorn has turned into, which is the most fantastic oak tree, shedding acorns in all directions. Mm. And it's one of the most powerful visual images of what the Military Wives Choirs have achieved that I've ever seen. They are actually doing it as you see this happening in front of you. Mm. And I nearly wept because it's so powerful an image, you know, and you suddenly think to yourself, how enormously lucky I am to work with this group.
This story of musical triumph would not be complete, however, without friends Michelle and Sarah, who sang to penguins, amongst others, in the Falkland Islands. With Sarah in York, waiting to join her husband on posting to Latvia, and Michelle, married to an RAF veteran of the South Atlantic campaign, currently living in Warminster, it was hard to contain their excitement as we reunited the pair over the ether, and the dynamic duo explained their dismay on arriving in this remote station at the state of the community choir. Not prepared to put up with second best, they seized the islands by the vocal cords and established the Military Wives Choir's furthest outpost.
Perhaps, Sarah, you could tell us the story about how you met Michelle.
So I got there a little bit before Michelle. I think, was it a couple of months, Michelle? Was it?
Oh, I came in the July. So
I was in the July. Oh, yeah. Maybe it was just a couple of weeks then.
Yes, yeah.
And so within a couple of days, we'd met each other, hadn't we?
We had, yeah.
And yeah. We were going to, because it was a community choir to start with, wasn't it, Michelle, on a Monday?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And it was a mixed choir, but nobody ever used to come, did they?
No,
so,
no.
And we were singing hymns and things, weren't we, out of hymn books, and we didn't know what to sing. And we talking to each other, didn't we, saying, this is crazy, we've got all this music. You know, we can sing so much. And we knew there were other ladies on the bass as well that had been in choirs, hadn't they? One had been in Cyprus and, where's Mel? Mel, she'd been in...
Waddington, I think, and the other one had been in Lossiemouth. Had she been in Lossiemouth?
Right. So so we just put the word out, didn't we? And we went full pelt, didn't we? When we realised that actually we weren't going to get any other members and no males were going to come, were they? They just wouldn't.
No, no.
Would they not dare come near you? these choral Amazons.
Oh, they were welcome. We did say, and you know, to be fair to Sarah, I mean, as she said, there was the community choir, and we did try and run with it, but we had no pianist, no music, and we had all that beautiful music with all the mass bands of the Army and the Air Force and the Navy to back our songs. You know, so we really needed. You know, we just went with it, and. Yeah, and that's how it came along, really, wasn't it? And my Warminster girls, when I was in the Falklands, because as Sarah will tell you, being 8,000 miles away from home...
Eight and a half, Michelle.
Sorry. It's such a, you know, it can be such a lonely place. So when I met Sarah and talked about the Military Wives, you know, Harry, I can't tell you how it... just made my heart sing, because there was somebody who you know, would love to sing, because I've sung since I was eight in church choirs and stuff. And, you know, the choir became our family, really, because we did it twice a week, didn't we, Sarah?
Do it twice a week, yes.
We did twice a week. And we did we were the smallest choir in the whole world, Harry. When we started off, there was five of us.
Yes.
Five of us. We only knew... four songs, three Christmas carols, and this is the truth, Christmas carols, and Robbie Burns' Silver Tassie.
We
managed to get four gigs with those four songs, Harry. And people were so appreciative, weren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, we went to Government House.
Yes, we sang at Government House. And you, and the funny thing about it was,
do you remember the governor,
Nigel Phillips. And after we sung, it was complete silence and people were crying. We did that quite often, made people cry because they're not used to live music. And he said, you know, I can't believe it. He said, you were fantastic. And then on the commemoration of the liberation of the Falkland Islands, Sarah and I and four others sang in the most southerly cathedral in the world, six of us, to the great and the good.
Yeah.
And we sang We Will Remember Them.
Joanna Forbes Lestrange and Alexander Lestrange, performed by the Military Wives Choirs under the direction of Hilary Davin Wetton.
We have to tell you this, Sarah. Will you tell Harry this? We were on the beach dancing with penguins.
Were the penguins in tears too?
Oh, it was a bit more jolly, a bit more upbeat that day, wasn't it?
Yeah. But we were recording for our film. If you've seen the Military Wives film, you'll see us all doing penguin walks right on the end credits. Yeah. So have a little look. We're on the right-hand side.
And Michelle, are those streets of Frome serenaded by the voices of the Military Wives choir in rehearsal?
Well, they're certainly serenaded by me because I had a little baby granddaughter born at the end of December. So I was singing in the street every night to my little granddaughter.
Well, how about, as we sign off, if you could give us a little rendition of what you've been singing to your granddaughter in the streets of Frome to keep her happy.
Oh,
yes.
Well, we've been singing, we are family, we've got all my sisters with me. So that was the one we sang with the penguins. So it was, it's good.
Well, come on now, don't be shy. Come on now, Sarah and York.
And if you would like more information on the Military Wags Choir in Kettering, please visit militarywagschoir.co.uk. While the Military Wives Choir's website is militarywiveschoirs.org. With my gratitude and appreciation for all the wonderful contributors who made this programme possible. We at ABF, the Soldiers Charity, congratulate you, the Military Wives Choirs, on your first 10 years. Wish you every success for the many, many more to come. And my thanks to Julia Hudson, Caroline Jopp, and Sharon Bristow for setting this all up. To Councillor Mark Shearer of Westminster City Council, Decca Records, and Fortitude Management and Production for their generous support. Thank you, each and every one of you, for putting the song back into life. As the Military Wives Choirs play us out to We Are Family, written by Niall Rogers and Alan Edwards. The excerpt from The Military Wives, published by HarperCollins, was read by Julie Wigg, with technical advice from Barney Hall and editing by Jenny Redman, Katie Burns, and studio Michael Siliano. This has been a GameKeeper production for ABF, the Soldiers Charity. Producers wish to make it clear no husbands were harmed or involved in the making of this programme.